Juno Afternoon is made possible with support from Hanson Gress, delivering IT support for local businesses for over 15 years. Our next guests are here, Dr. Guy McPherson, Pauline Schneider, and also Colin Peacock. They're going to be talking about talks tonight and then also on Saturday about abrupt climate change. Welcome to the show, everybody. Nice to have you here.
Thanks, Scott. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah. Thanks, Scott. Colin Peacock, why don't you give us the setup? How did you find Dr. Guy McPherson, and how did he get here?
Yeah, so Guy McPherson and I met about 13 years ago back at the University of Arizona, where I was a student. He was a professor and my advisor. And we ended up co-teaching a class on how to essentially prepare a community in the Southwest to survive abrupt climate change, the sort of collapse of modern industrial systems, political systems. And yeah, it was really inspiring for thinking about what's happening to this world with climate change affecting us. It certainly steered me down a path to think about doing the work I do now, which is food security work in Southeast Alaska and preparing this region to produce more food, since that's one of our sort of major issues moving forward in climate change. And then, Guy McPherson reached out to me recently just saying that he was going to do a tour in Alaska and said, yeah, we got to have you on and put you around. People are going to be really interested.
Got it. And you're part of the Southeast Sustainability Council. Is that right?
No, I'm a member of the Southeast Sustainable Partnership. Is there similar sounding? Yeah.
And is that the hat you're wearing today?
No, I'm not. I'm just representing myself today.
Okay, yeah. Got it. And before we get into talking about it, can you tell us when these talks are going to be?
Yes. So we have one later today at the Valley Library, and that's going to be – let me double check. Am I saying this right? Yeah, that's at 5:15. And then we're going to have another one Saturday at the Downtown Library, and that's probably at 3:15.
All right. That's on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Okay. Dr. Guy McPherson, abrupt climate change. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, it's a bummer. It's a phenomenon that has precedence in planetary history, albeit not with humans involved. We are currently at the highest global average temperature experienced by our species, Homo sapiens, in planetary history. And we are also in the midst of abrupt, irreversible climate change. And if it feels warm in certain places, if the glaciers seem to be melting faster than they ever have before, well, there's a reason for that. And I'm actually quite surprised we're having this conversation. I'm surprised that the system we call civilization, industrial civilization, is held together under the assault of everything that civilized humans have been doing, as well as abrupt, irreversible climate change. So it's an honor and a surprise for me to be here, Scott.
And so this is alluding to near-term extinction, which is one of your theories. Tell us about that.
Right. And so because the future is projected by every legitimate climate scientist to be warmer than it is right now, and because the rate of change is occurring so quickly, those two factors spell almost certain doom for our favorite species. We're driving more than 200 species a day to extinction, more than 200 species a day. And you can't do that indefinitely without you becoming one of the species you drive to extinction. So it doesn't look promising for the long term and maybe not even the medium term. So what we have is here and now.
Got it. What can people expect tonight at 5:30 at the Valley Library?
I'll be talking about how various factors threaten this set of living arrangements as a result of abrupt, irreversible climate change and how we might live in light of that information. Most notably, I look to planetary hospice for models. So my latest refereed peer-reviewed journal article is actually published not in the climate science world, not in the field biology world with which I had many years of experience, but instead in a peer-reviewed journal called Clinical Psychology Forum. And I draw parallels in that paper between medical doctors from a couple of generations ago and climate scientists and the media and politicians today. It was in the 1960s and 1970s, as recently as that, that physicians, with support from medical ethicists, would actually lie to their patients to give them hope. And I'm seeing the same sort of behavior from people today in the climate science community, giving people hope when it's meaningless, when hope has become meaningless.
Basically. I saw one of your interviews you mentioned sort of compared yourself to a doctor giving someone bad news, perhaps, you know, that the person – tell us about that.
Yeah. So what I'm seeing right now is a terminal diagnosis. Of course, we all knew as individuals since we were maybe 12 years old that we were born into a terminal diagnosis. We've all known for a long time that birth is actually a terminal condition. It's a sexually transmitted disease that is proven fatal in every case. Everybody knows that by the time they're 12 years old. And yet we don't think about it much. And we don't realize – most of us don't realize that our species, like all others, is bound to go extinct. You know, there have been half a dozen other species in the genus Homo that went extinct. And I suspect some of the members of those species thought they were very clever right before they went extinct too. And so it couldn't happen to them. Well, here we are at the brink.
Okay. Pauline Schneider, welcome also to the show.
Thank you.
Photographer, partner. Tell us about what you do.
Well, one of my jobs is really to document what Guy does. That's one of my main things. But the other thing that I do is I make sure he stays alive on his trips. And that's a good partner job, I think. But we've created a workshop together that we called the Only Love Remains Workshop for people who get this and really want to work through the emotions of it. And we've been doing this for many years. We're not offering it on this tour. But I want to thank Cachet Garrett for getting us out here. She heard his message and she said she's got to get him. And he spoke at Fairbanks two nights in a row. And it was pretty amazing. It was a great turnout there. And I'm hoping that we'll get some more wonderful people out here asking real questions and wanting to hear the truth.
Got it. Dr. McPherson, you've mentioned irreversible a couple times. Are we past LED light bulbs and electric cars?
Absolutely. And it's not that I want to reach this conclusion at all. In fact, I left active service at the University of Arizona, where I was quite an honored member of the community. I voluntarily left there in 2009 because I recognized that the monetary system was contributing to our own demise as well as to the sixth mass extinction. And so I willingly took these actions that were pretty radical, and ultimately I came to the realization that it's not working, that there's not nearly enough of us. And then I came across information about the aerosol masking effect or global dimming, and then you think about when – this set of living arrangements goes away, the nuclear power plants that are bound to go away with them and not in a controlled fashion either. And so, you know, I took pretty radical actions. I lived off grid for a decade and tried to do what I could in light of what looks like a really dire situation. And it didn't work. And so now I'm here to tell people something most people have known since they were 10 or 12 years old, that our lives are short. And that our species, like all the others, is going to go extinct too. Many of those species go extinct very quickly, and it looks like ours is on the way out as well.
What's an example of things you do to maximize your life?
Well, I try to live with gratitude every single minute of every single day. I try to be fully present with the people I'm with. Most of what I do these days can't involve a lot of money. One of the things that I really love to do though and have since I was about 6 years old is teach, or rather to facilitate learning. And so that's why I'm here, and that's why I keep appearing at unusual places at the behest of people I've never met, such as Cachet Garrett, such as Colin Peacock hosting and organizing for me here so that I can get this message out, because I think it's very important. And it's a message that nobody wants to hear, including me. It's a message that I don't even want to transmit, but I feel an obligation, especially in light of the fact that so few other people are talking about the existential threat we face with climate change.
Got it. If one of your critics were here right now, what might they say?
Well, they would start by calling me names. and they would probably finish by calling me names. I've been libeled in the Washington Post and the New York Times. Somebody who should be a colleague, climate scientist Michael Mann at Pennsylvania State University, called me a doomist cult hero. A doomist cult hero. And in David Wallace as well, David Wallace Wells's recent book, An Uninhabitable Earth, he said all kinds of terrible things about me, including taking issue with my mustache and correlating that with being a member of a cult or ahead of a cult. So I didn't know that, or I'd have grown my mustache a lot earlier in life, obviously. And so this is the standard response. The people who criticize me. They never take issue with the evidence that I present because the evidence is unimpeachable. It speaks for itself. So it's easy to attack an individual. It's much more difficult to back that up with information, and so nobody does.
Okay. Colin, can you please remind us the details of the talks? And were you going to add to that as well?
No. Oh, okay. Yeah, I was just going to say that tonight at the Valley Library, we're going to have a talk at 5:15, and then Saturday about 3:15 at the Downtown Library.
Okay. If people can't make it to either of your talks, where's the best place to learn about you?
Well, I have a blog at guymcpherson.com, and the video from these two presentations here in Juneau will appear there within the next couple of weeks. I'm constantly harassing my poor partner, Pauline, and telling her we need to get those up there as quickly as possible. And she's working on the presentations from Anchorage right now, and I had presentations from a week ago at Boston College. So there's plenty of material that will be appearing at guymcpherson.com in the not-too-distant future.
Got it. And if I may, let's see. We are 2019, April 8th, 2019. When are we going to see some really dramatic change, maybe here in Southeast Alaska, in your opinion?
Have you noticed the Mendenhall Glacier lately?
Mm-hmm.
We're already seeing radical changes. We're already seeing very significant changes going on. In Alaska, there are climate refugees, as there are in Central America and the South Pacific, as there are in Northern Africa and the Middle East. It's already underway. When is it going to be more obvious so that everybody in Juneau and everybody in Alaska will admit, yes, it's happening and it's a threat? Probably when the last person draws their last breath.
Okay. That's the voice of Dr. Guy McPherson. We've been in the studio with him. Also, Pauline Schneider and Colin Peacock. You can listen to him tonight at the Mendenhall Valley Public Library at 5:15 and then again at the Juneau Public Library at 3 p.m. on Saturday. What was the website again, sir?
GuyMcPherson.com.
Well, thanks for coming on the show, everybody. Is there anything we're missing, anything you'd like to add?
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate the opportunity, and I think you can find it all at GuyMcPherson.com. I've thought that for years, and maybe I'm missing something.
Thanks.
Thank you.